Earlier this week, I had occasion to tape a discussion of the High Holidays with two other rabbis. And before the tape was on, we were talking. And because we were talking and the tape, as far as we knew, wasn't rolling, I said to one of the rabbis, "You know, this reminds me of a story that is told by a rabbi whom we both know in common, who was once at a wedding. And he was standing there with the cantor at the wedding, and he started to make comments about the way the wedding was decorated. 'Really, those are the flowers they want, and those are the bridesmaids' dresses they want.' Of course, what he didn't know was that the video microphone was already turned on, even though the sound microphone wasn't. And of course, when the family received the video of their daughter's wedding, they also received the rabbi's comments. And he said that the family was very gracious and understanding and kind, but it taught him an important lesson, which is, what if all the time, even though you didn't know it, a microphone was on you, and what you were saying was transmitted? At which point the other rabbi told me of a friend of his who had undergone a similar experience. This time it was the cantor and not the rabbi, who made a comment about how expensive the bride's dress must have been. And this time what the family did was, after the wedding, though they didn't say anything to the cantor, they invited him over to watch the video with them. And he's watching the video and enjoying, and all of a sudden he hears his own voice say, "That dress must have cost a pretty penny." And of course he was mortified. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful because the truth is that we are always on mic. Unless you're talking to yourself. I remember that my father used to say that the problem isn't that he can't keep a secret. The problem is that all the people he tells can't keep a secret. Or, as Ben Franklin said, three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. When you say something to someone else, you have lost control. I don't care how well you know them, how much you trust them. Once you say something, it cannot be unsaid. Tomorrow, next month, next year, in 10 years, as every married couple knows, the person may turn to you and say, "You said this." Therefore, teaches the Torah, the Tanakh, in Proverbs, in Mishlei, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What we can do to ourselves and to each other is virtually unlimited in terms of the destructive power that we have at our disposal. I could right now say something to you that is completely untrue about someone you know, and you will never be able to dislodge it from your mind. If it is serious enough, vicious enough, funny enough, disparaging enough, you'll always think of it, even if you know that it's not true. Because, of course, it's very hard to prove a negative. How can you prove for sure that that rumor you heard isn't true? Maybe, maybe. Otherwise, why would someone say something like that? But I must tell you, as a rabbi, I hear lots of stories, and some of them are not true, even though everyone believes them. And all it takes is more than one person to tell you something, and it becomes not a rumor, but a fact. I've heard it from so many people. as though so many people obviously couldn't repeat something untrue, when in fact that happens all the time. I remember in the 80s that a cabinet secretary who was indicted and then exonerated and then proved innocent came before the cameras and he said, okay, now where do I go to get my reputation back? I bring this up in part because of the parsha, Bamidbar, which some of the commentators connect to Midbar and Midaber, wilderness and words, that we can create a wilderness with our words. We can lay waste to everything around us with cruel speech, with rumors, with gossip, with unkindness, but also because, as many of you know, there was an awful tragedy this week when a young girl died. And the tragedy was compounded by the rumors that swirled around the tragedy, that another young girl was responsible. The people who are saying this don't know it, but they know enough to say it. Now let us suppose for a moment that this is not true. What have all of you who have repeated this rumor done to both these girls? What have you done? I say this because I know the rumor is very widespread. There were rumors that one of them was in jail, which was not true. And as this was unfolding in our community, I thought, life and death in the power of the tongue. You can destroy someone's reputation and their life. You can say things that you've heard, but that you don't know. Because, after all, if you think about it, when you repeat a rumor, it's motivated by a desire to make you look good. That's why we do it. I know more, I understand more, let me tell you what I've found out that you don't know. It's a desire to elevate yourself. As my colleague and friend Joseph Telushkin says, nobody spreads rumors to their friends about their housekeepers, but they spread rumors about their boss. It's someone elevated that you want to bring down. Somebody who seems to have a good reputation, you want to prove they don't. It's all about the status of the person who speaks, so that everyone will know that they understand what's going on. And realize, even though we speak about a broad category of gossip, there are rumors and there are rumors. As Rabbi Yisroel Salanter said, if you say the rabbi can't sing and the cantor doesn't speak well, then you're someone who spreads rumors. But if you say the rabbi doesn't speak well and the cantor can't sing, then you're a murderer. Because then you've caused someone irreparable damage, and life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can ruin someone's life. So this is a serious business. And the truth is, even though the stories I said at the outset were somewhat humorous, imagine what the rabbi and the cantor could have said. What if the rabbi had been caught on videotape saying, you know what, I really don't like this family, can't stand the bride? Then it wouldn't be funny anymore. Instead of saying, oh, I don't like the flowers. When you say something about someone else, it has to pass through an internal filter. If you're smart, when you say something about yourself, it'll pass through an internal filter, but when you say something about someone else, do I know this? How do I know it? Do I need to say it? Does the other person need to hear it? What damage am I doing by repeating this? Those are questions that should be built into our DNA. all of us. Because every person has the other person's reputation in his or her hands. Everyone. My father studied when he was a student with a renowned and wonderful rabbi named Rabbi Joachim Prinz. And once, they were in a restaurant, and Rabbi Prinz ordered tomato juice, and they brought him clam chowder. And he looked at it, and he said to my father, "I'm about to teach you the first lesson of the rabbinate." He said, "I'm going to send this clam chowder back, and in a week, you will hear." Rabbi Prinz was in a restaurant. He ordered clam chowder. Then he saw me, whoever the congregant is, and so he sent it back. He said, "What you have to know is what you do and what you are said to be doing are often not the same. Learn that lesson because you have to teach it to your congregants." Bamidbar is the wilderness, but they are headed for the promised land. And the promised land only worked well when the Israelites treated each other well. When they took care of what they said and what they didn't say. When they knew that they held other people's reputations and their lives in their hands and in their words. So please, be careful. Be careful. Not only because tomorrow it could be any one of us, any one of us, but also because that is who we are supposed to be. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, all of Israel is responsible to take care of one another. So let us remember that kashrut is this system of laws about what goes in your mouth. But we have a much more extensive and in some ways much more important set of laws about what comes out of your mouth. And if you can turn a rumor into a kindness, or gossip into a gentle silence, that is a great mitzvah and will make God's world and our world much, much better. Shabbat Shalom.